What is up, you beautiful human? Hello and welcome back to the Raw, Real and Vulnerable podcast with me, your host, Bec Antonucci. Oh my God, I fly to Sydney at the end of this week. I have some very special activities planned, which I am really excited for. I have a day of recording my podcast in person with some really amazing guests that I just cannot wait to share with you. I'm going to keep it a secret, even though I'm really bad at keeping secrets, but I'm going to try and keep it a secret so I can tease you and create excitement, because I actually love being teased, but like only usually in a sexual way. And I'm not really teasing you sexually right now, but I'm going to try and get you so excited that you're like, I can't wait to find out who these people are. And then on Saturday, myself and Ellie Sedgwick from Comfortable in My Skin are running an in-person 5-hour experience to support women who are navigating the herpes virus to be able to hold the conversation, create a deep felt sense of acceptance around the conversation. And then the following day, we are recording an in-person podcast interview for her newly released podcast. So I'm so just, I don't want to say the word excited again, but it's the only true word that I can actually use to communicate how I feel right now. So much fucking stuff is going on. This is amazing. I also had to fly out of Bali because my 2-month visa was up, and I just felt this feels way more exciting than flying back to Perth. And we all know that I've been going through what feels like now a 12-month breakup that I am so over, but want to be over. I have so many clients right now that are navigating breakups, and they send me these voice memos that are like, I'm so sorry that you have to listen to this. And I say to them, it's totally okay, because this experience will go for as long as you need this experience to go for you. And quite often I've said the same thing to my mentor. I'm like, do you want to just like block and delete my phone number? I'm like, if I send her another message about the challenges I am navigating in the face of what feels like this forever long breakup, she will maybe ditch me as a client. And Carrie turned around and said to me, Rebecca, love, I'm not the one that doesn't have tolerance for you in this. It's you. And I was like, oh, thank you. So I just really want to humanize our experiences in breakups. I think breakups, like I've said in the past, are one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging thing to navigate, go through and grow through. And I really believe that the only way out is all the way in and through. So let's fucking go, baby. For those women that are resonating, I'm there in it with you. Today is a special guest. Her name is Case Warwick. She is one of my very, very good friends. We both come from the Preston Smiles world, and we have a really beautiful sister-like relationship. Even though Casey's younger than me, I really feel like she's my big sister. I've slept over her house before. Being with her felt like we were family, and she really is. She's soul family. We talk about relationships today. We speak about the woman who shows up in relationship from her leadership and her authority and her providership, and then desiring to shift that dynamic, and how we resolve resentments when we've been so used to overgiving for such a long time, creating an experience for our partner that we no longer want to prolong, but we have to break away from. We speak about what it means to desire to tap out of relationship and how to recommit rather than leave. And we also speak about how to know whether your relationship is the relationship for you, especially when there's a part of you saying, this just is not it. If you love this episode, please screenshot it, share it to your story, tag both myself and Case, because we would abso-fucking-lutely love to connect with you. Strap yourself in. This is one hell of an episode. Let's fucking go. I am sitting here in my Bali villa, and I've got some fucking roosters cock-a-doodle-doodling their little assholes off all day long, and Casey and I are absolutely wetting our pants about it. But I am sitting here with one of my favorite women on the planet, Casey Warwick. Welcome to Raw, Real and Vulnerable.
I am so excited to be here, especially considering we did this before and my speakers and all the things were shit. So I'm like, years later, we're back, and I'm so excited. Thank you.
Oh my God, I recorded such a good podcast episode the other day, and it was a solo, and I was looking at my cord and I thought it wasn't plugged in, and I was like at the 40-minute mark of, oh my God, I don't know what comes out of my mouth as I say it, and if this cord is not plugged in, I can't do this again. But it was, thank God. So we're here, we're plugged in, we're all ready to go. So for anyone who doesn't know who Casey Warwick is, can you tell us who you are and what is it that you do in the world?
Well, obviously I'm Case. I am a mother, first and foremost, and I help women in business really step into the embodiment of what it is to be in their business. So my work started with very similar work to what you do, Beck, like trauma responses and all those sorts of things and helping women break free. And over the time, I realized that that was the main reason why people hold themselves back in business as well, because they've got all these stories and all this thing happening in their head. That's what was making them bad in business. So I stepped into really supporting women in business in that. And yeah, it's amazing. I love what I do.
To give us a little bit of context, not every woman that I speak to is an entrepreneur, but lots of women that I speak to are desiring to create big life change. Or say, for example, they've seen myself and Tracy, we've moved to Bali and they're wanting some amount of flexibility in their lifestyle and they don't know what it is and what's going to come forward for them. There's maybe a lack of self-trust. But the embodiment piece, I would love for you to just touch on that. What does it actually mean to be embodied in your business?
Yeah, well, for me, like how I personally hold it is like we all have a magic inside of us, right? You've got an incredible gift at what you do. I know I do. Everyone has their own little piece. But the thing that gets them in the way of actually achieving that is usually the stories that we've told ourselves and all the other things. So basically, when I'm talking about being embodied in your business, it's like we are stripping all the shit back that stops you from actually accessing that dream, from being fully embodied in the dream life, the dream business, the dream space of you in service. Because if there's one thing I know for myself, no matter how many strategies I tried, I could have the best strategy in the world trying to do something. But if I've got stories, if I've got energetic hangups, if I've got things going on in my relationships, if I've got anything that's in the background, it fucks up my business. And so it's about keeping yourself really clean so you know where to focus on and you know that what you're trying to call in, manifest, whatever word you want to give it, it's actually going to come through to you because you're clean enough to hold it. Does that make sense when I say that?
Yeah. Can you give us a little bit more context of what it means to be clean, to hold? And I really feel like this conversation isn't just relevant to business. It's relevant to the relationship that we desire to call in. It's relevant to the bank account or the investment or the idea or the creation or whatever it is that we're bringing, the birth of our daughter or first son or whatever the thing is that you're desiring to bring through. What does it mean to be clean so that you can hold it?
Yeah, well, a lot of the times, like, so for example, just say you're calling in extra wealth or the soulmate, partner, whatever it is that you want to call in. If there's an undercurrent of a story or a piece of you that's keeping yourself in safety and keeping you away from that, it's going to be really hard to call it in. And so I'll give you an example of this, right? So recently, I was noticing myself wanting to really, really surrender and go deeper into just that. I don't want to have to care. I don't want to have to stress. And I was like, why do I keep getting caught up in this? I can't go deeper. I can't allow myself to fully surrender, right? And so one thing that I had to work on was what was the story that's underneath it? And it wasn't that I couldn't receive, right? Because everyone thinks their story is I can't receive. But it was actually a story of I had this tiny little thing inside of me and it was so minute, but it was hanging on that women were bad. And I had to look, I was like, oh my God, I've spent my whole life trying to prove that women are good and trying to be a stand for women because I had an internal dialogue saying that women were bad. And so whenever I was doing something, there was an anchoring of me in people pleaser. And I was acting from the prostitute archetype. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this. It's from Caroline Miss's work.
No.
And essentially, she does amazing work around archetypes. She's really cool.
She's like prostitute archetype. Tell us a little bit more about that, baby.
So the prostitute archetype is basically I'll keep giving so I can receive, right? Yeah. So it's not necessarily about I'll go and have sex for money. It's like I'll clean the whole house so then he'll love me, or I'll do all this stuff for my friends so then I'm part of the group, that kind of energy. Mm-hmm. And I noticed I was doing it in business. I noticed I was doing it everywhere in my life and it just wasn't getting clean for me. Mm-hmm. So it was like, what was actually going on underneath? And it was like deep somatic work that I had to do to get to this. I ripped my whole life apart trying to, quote, find the piece that was holding me back. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't about necessarily holding me back. It was, what was I buying into? Mm-hmm. And so the tiny little stories and the nuances can stop us from embodying that. And so it wasn't allowing me to fully be clean as a good woman because I was looking unconsciously for where women are bad.
Just to circle back a little bit, you said originally this came from this desire to surrender.
Yeah.
What were you desiring to surrender to your business, to money, to your partner?
All of it. My partner and my business were the main two things I seen it in.
Yeah.
And so I would constantly be like to Urbane, you need to do this and I don't want to work and I don't want this. And I never had an intention to not work, right? I actually wanted to serve. You know what I'm like in business, right?
I could never, ever imagine Casey and I not working. We're kind of like a very similar cloth.
Yeah, but every couple of months I'd have this, I just don't want to have to do anything. I don't want to be responsible. And I'd lash out. It was this really unhealthy wound that would come up. And it would be like, I just want to be able to trust you and lean on you and blah, blah, blah. And I could, but I'd make this story up that I couldn't. But what was actually happening underneath it was I was overgiving all the way up until that point. And then I'd get resentful and then I'd lash out. And so it wasn't that he wasn't doing his part. It was the fact that I was overgiving, dropping my boundaries, and then I wasn't allowing myself to actually go, hold on a second, what do I need? But I wasn't asking for what I needed because I thought I was a bad woman. Because I was like, if I don't give him everything, then I'm not good enough and I'm not a good woman. So it was like the good girl archetype at the like deepest core wound.
And so then you're facing off with this resistance in your relationship. I'm assuming also there must have been some amount in your business when you're like, I just want to surrender.
Yeah, I wasn't showing up.
Really?
Like to everyone else, they think I was because I operate at a higher level. Like my 100% is probably everyone else's 5,000%. But I knew I wasn't going all in. Energetically for myself, I'm like 20% in right now.
I resonate with this so much. We did a receiving circle for the end of one of my masterminds and the coaches go as well. And it's like, what is the one thing holding you back? And my thing was going for the breadcrumbs of life, just because my breadcrumbs might not look like breadcrumbs to someone else, but I know what I'm capable of. And I still know the comfort zone and the scratching the surface of Rebecca Antonucci. And that's a fucking breadcrumb.
Yeah. And I feel you on every level of that because that's what I was operating from. And then it wasn't until like it really deeply clicked and like it clicked maybe about, oh, this is probably like 6 months ago, but then it's deepened again over each time, like where I've caught myself in it, caught myself in it, caught myself in it. And if you hadn't knew, obviously you've known me for years now, but for other people, they would never have even considered me to be operating from this internally. They would have been like, oh, she's so confident. She's always showing up. But it was just that tiny piece of just being like, what the hell? And it was that victim mentality internally of I need to be saved and I'm not a good girl and all these kind of little tiny pieces that were actually getting in the way of me owning fully who I was as a woman.
Huge. So then you're like, I want to find what this piece is. I'm going to do the deep somatic work. So from that place, what is it that you did and what has changed for you since?
Well, I think it really started, I don't know if you remember this, but when we were in Goldie last year and I said, I need to stand in front of Urbane and just actually be really honest around everything I've hid from him around my body, because I was hiding the parts that I was in shame with in my body, because having a baby, I'd put on almost 20 kilos, sitting like 17 kilos heavier than when I first met him. And so I was like, internally, like externally, no one would have guessed that I was lacking any confidence because I masked it, but I was absolutely so ashamed internally. And I compensated through being the loud, outspoken, all these kind of things when internally I just needed to get quiet. And so after I shared that with him, the last 12 months or so, I've just gotten so quiet, so incredibly quiet. And I've waited for the nudges from God. I've really gotten aware of myself and I've cleaned up so many of my own energetic patterns. And that doesn't mean that it hasn't come with struggles in our relationship, because everywhere where I've overgiven, I've spoken up about it, it's caused disruption, and then we've had to recalibrate. Recently, it's like a whole new level that's come through, but it's that deepening every single time. Every time we enter this, I soften more. And it's really beautiful, actually, but it's been a fucking big journey. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mate, I've been through a breakup for 12 months, but I fully get you. And I know the destruction of what it does for a high-performing woman to overgive in relationship and the resentment that it can create. And it's really hard to come back from that rupture, and it's really challenging to repair. It takes a lot of courage, I really take my hat fully off to you and your partner. For any woman that has taken a leadership role in her relationship and she's feeling like, you know what, I have overgiven, I am noticing and recognizing resentment, maybe it's impacting our emotional intimacy, our physical intimacy. He probably doesn't even know that I'm overgiving because he just thinks it's Beck just like pays for everything because Beck's got a great business. She's all flat. Yeah. She loves you. Beck loves paying for people. I don't realize this fucking bitch is mad at me. She doesn't say anything. How do we as women, when we have so frequently betrayed and abandoned our own boundaries, how do we begin communicating that to our partner with the idea in mind that we actually want to resolve versus make him bad and wrong for the experience, come from a place of personal responsibility, and be able to create that beautiful resolution on the other side?
The first thing I'd say is literally learn how to release your rage healthily. Do some rage release. I know you teach this stuff really deeply. I do too. And I think it's so incredibly important for women to understand that it's healthy to have a level of rage, but know how to release it as well, because the feminine is going to feel emotion so much deeper than men. Like, it's just what we do. It's how we operate, how we be with things. And also know your cycle. I know this sounds like really off the beat with it, but I would also see 3 days before my cycle, if I was unresolved, it was like, oh, war was happening in my house, right? So if I was able to allow myself to be with the rage prior to that, I'd actually have a really smooth cycle. I'd have a smooth bleed, but I wouldn't have that if I was angry.
And when you're saying rage release, are you encouraging women to work with rage with their partner, work with rage on their own?
Singly. On their own. Yeah.
And like, can you share why?
Because at the end of the day, the masculine's going to want to hold, right? Yeah. They're going to want to protect. And when he sees you in that, he's going to instantly go, what have I done wrong? And he's going to almost step into little boy energy if he doesn't know the context or what you're creating. And not every man will do this. Men who understand, they will get it and they can hold you in it. But if this is something new that you've never navigated with your partner before, it's really incredibly important that you actually go, hold on a second, I need some time for myself. And not only because of him, but also to keep your energy clean, right? So we as women, we're multipliers, man. Like, anything that's around us, we're going to activate and we're going to bring tenfold into energy. And so if his energy is unclean, you're not going to know if you're moving his rage or your rage. So it's really important to just be with your own energy in that practice. So then that way, when you are like, so for me, I'll set pillows up somewhere on my bed or in my lounge room or something like that. And I'll just literally bash the shit out of it, scream, do whatever I've got to do to get it out of my body. And it's messy. It's not like this pretty girl fucking shit. It's like ugly cries, like really being in my body. But after that, I can see. Because I can't see through the rage. All I can see is my ego and all the ways that I'm edging God out, and I'm not actually looking at who he's being or what he's trying to do for me. And so once I can drop from the rage, then I can start to see, oh, he did this, oh, he did that, or oh, he's trying to help me here. And so when I can actually see that he's trying to support me from a different level, I can start to get curious. And when I approach the resentment or the problems or the things that I'm facing off with curiosity rather than with complaint, it's a completely different vibe, right? If I go in there all guns blazing, being like, rah, 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 you did this, you did that, he'll stonewall me. Like, his default is to stonewall. And does that mean he can't hold me? No, it means he's now in protection mode. And so when I've released the rage, I can have a conversation without defaulting to that.
Yeah, I love that. And for women who are showing up in their leadership in relationship, but that's actually not what they want at all, why do we do that? It's almost like this default mode that I even notice it when I go for dinner with men and the bill comes. There's a part of me that's just like, I'll sort it, or let's go halves. And I'm like, Rebecca, no, we're allowing him to lead, allowing ourselves to receive. And I have to constantly remind myself, do not step into leadership. Why do we have this default, I've got it sorted?
It's protection, firstly, right? So we're trying to keep ourselves safe, right? If we don't have to trust anyone, we don't have to put it on them, then I'm okay. So at the end of the day, if you're ever doing this, please don't shame yourself for it, because that's not going to change the scenario either. I shamed myself for years in this particular space and it didn't help me, right? Every single relationship I was in until this one now, I was doing this shit. And I've still defaulted back into this and have to go at a deeper level every time it rises itself again. And so what I actually now do is when I know that this is happening, I'm like, okay, cool. Where do I feel out of control in my life? Because at the end of the day, we are only ever controlling if we don't have security or approval, right? So they're the core desires. If we don't have those two, we will lean to control. So what I'd often find was there was a piece of myself that I was probably looking for approval in, or I was looking for security in. And so if I can't get that from someone else, I go into control mode and then I lead, right? And this is also the default of the martyr of the mother wound, right? Mm-hmm. So if we've watched women like our moms, our aunties, teachers, anyone that's been a caregiver in our life, control the space, we're going to naturally default to that too because we learned that behavior from someone. I watched my mom work her ass off while my stepdad just chilled out the whole time, right? Like he worked still, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't stressed. He wasn't trying to push a career. He was just like, I'll just do this job and I'll just do that job, mm-hmm. right? And so she was constantly in control mode. So that's where I learned the behavior from it. And a lot of us, especially those who are 25 plus, we've grown up with an era of watching women not know how to surrender to their men either.
Yes.
Or not know how to not lead. You think about it, how many mums are constantly ironing their husband's clothes and doing all these tiny things. I have a rule, I won't make Urbane's lunch. And people are always like, why are you so rude about that? I'm like, if we've got leftovers, sure, yeah, like, fuck it, I can put it in a container. But I'm not going out of my way to make his lunch. He was a big boy before he met me. He can be a big boy now. That doesn't change that dynamic. And people always get really funny about it. And I'm like, that's how deeply ingrained it is that we have to look after our men. But there's a difference between looking after and nurturing someone. Mm-hmm. And so I think at the end of the day, if you're ever in that providership energy, right? You know that you've got to hold the fort because they can't hold it. That's when you know that you're not allowing yourself to actually fully receive. Because regardless of whether you've got a two-income household, there should still be equal parts of I don't have it all. If it's all on you and it's all on me, like it's going to feel fucking heavy to carry. And trust me, I've been with that wound. It hurts like hell, mm-hmm. right? How can we allow ourselves to be supported? Because everyone will go, oh, I can receive everywhere else, but not my relationship. And it's like, well, actually, you probably can't receive everywhere else openly. There may just be a tiny little thing there that's going, what's stopping me from actually being able to ask for my desire and ask for what I actually need here? Mm. And it's usually that tiny piece of we've watched everyone our whole life give, 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 give. And then we get to the point in our life where we give, 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 no boundaries, boom, resentment. And it's like this cycle.
I have a similar but different example of the lunch making. When I moved in with Jake, I don't make dinner. Like I'm in Bali right now. People cook for me. It's great. But for me, I'm like, I don't enjoy cooking unless I'm doing it for a group of humans. Otherwise, it just feels like a waste of my time. I don't enjoy it. It feels purposeless. I make a mess. I make 10 times a bigger mess than a normal person. So it just feels like so much effort. And for me, it feels much more purposeful to support women to love and accept themselves. When Jake and I moved in together, because I was working from home, he had this expectation that I would just cook dinner.
Mm.
And so it came from expectation rather than communicating with me, this is a desire. Yeah. And so it brought up all this frustration within me that like, I didn't cook for me prior. I've moved into your house to help you. And now I have to spend an hour of my time going to the shops, getting the food, preparing you your meal. And I realized if he had have been able to drop into his vulnerability and share with me what it meant for him, for me to cook him dinner, I probably would have desired to do the thing, but the expectation took away any desire and it just felt like I do not want to clean it. Like who decided that just because I work from home, that means that I'm the cook? I don't like cooking. I'm the primary breadwinner. It's probably better off me spending an hour working on my business and cooking for us. And I realized it brought up so much intense aggression and anger and resentment because it was reflecting all the unspoken resentments that had shown up in our relationship that were never communicated.
Yeah, 100%. And this is also from, we've spoken about how the women respond, but this is the unconscious little boy looking for a mummy archetype. This is what happens when men don't know what they desire fully yet. They haven't fully understood, what do I want in a partnership? They just expect, because society says, when you get a wife, she cooks, she cleans, she does all this. But what did your mom do? That's what your mom did for you. that's not a partnership. That's when they want you to step into the mum role. And unfortunately, women who are in leadership and are the breadwinners, a lot of the unconscious patterns, myself included, put my fucking hand up for this one, can default into that mother role in the relationship. And so I'm pretty quick to pull myself up on it now, but I have so many of my clients still navigating the same things. And it's like, okay, I've worked my ass off. And they're like, how do I just soften when I'm in the relationship now? And you can't meet hardness with hardness. You can't meet fear with fear. You can't hit the rigidness of what your internal system is doing right now and then expect theirs to just soften instantly. The only way to actually activate a man to show up for you in that aspect through learned experience is drop the wall, drop the mask, drop the ability to like, I've got everyone, and just let yourself crumble in front of them. Every time I've actually spoken from wherever I'm at, and not from the wounded little girl, I'm talking from the woman who knows what her desires are and she knows they're not being met. Whenever I speak from that place of, look, I'm not okay with where this is at right now, it shifts instantly. But it doesn't come if I'm squawking at him or if I'm crying like the wounded little girl. It doesn't come from any other place other than me being grounded in the presence of what I am as a woman. And that's when he starts to move powerfully for me in partnership.
Why do you feel it's easier for us to squawk from the wounded mother or the complainer or the whinger or the nagger, or cry from the little girl for the attention and get him to do whatever I want because I'm in my little girl tears and sadness, versus coming from that grounded, anchored, rooted, vulnerable, communicative place? Why are the other two, which obviously don't sound resourceful at all, I feel like there's a piece of us that feels it has worked in the past. Maybe we threw a tantrum with daddy and then daddy went.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
But why do we go there rather than actually let's show up for my fucking woman and let this man really see me?
Well, have you heard of the still faces studies that have happened lately?
No.
It's these studies. Don't quote me on the details of them. I've just seen some brief stuff on it. But pretty much it's like these studies where newborns come out and then their mothers can be looking at them playful, all these sorts of things. But when they turn around, their faces are just completely numb. There's these studies that have come out now that it only takes 2 minutes for a child to respond and kick and scream and all those sorts of things from this. And what that means is what they first start doing is they start being obnoxious, doing loud things like and playing in a really ridiculous manner to try and get their attention. And then it progressively increases to the point where if they still haven't got the attention from the mother because they've turned away because they're just numbed out, they will start screaming and squawking. And if you think about how women respond now, we do the same thing, right? You think about the stages of aggression. Like I can tell you right now, when I start getting angry, I first get quiet and then I'll be huffy and I'll storm around and then I might slam a door a little bit harder or like, you know, it's stages. And then eventually I get to the point where I'm like, right, my family knows if I say right, like get out of the fucking way. I'm about to chuck a tantrum. But noticing those stages, this all would have worked as a safety mechanism for us as kids. This would have been what we would have known in our nervous system of how to get a response. Because you think about it, when we get to the point where we scream and we carry on, that's when our parents would step in and be like, hey, what do you need? Right? And so the only thing that we've ever known is to do that. And sometimes the attention would be like, if you scream, I'll give you something to scream about. So if you've got a trauma bond with your parents, you're also going to look for that in your relationship. Like I know in a previous relationship of mine, I was in a domestic violent relationship and I would literally pick fights because I knew at least after the fight, we'd be good again because it was so volatile prior to that moment. And it was like this constant battle back and forth. We both knew that it wasn't right what we were doing, but my inner child was constantly acting up, trying to get his attention to the point where I'd have this big blow up. Then he'd give me attention for like a day. I'd think it was okay because it was good for a day. And then we'd go back into the same cycle. Mm. We see this quite a lot play out. And I think it is because in that process of where we're really young from that 0 to 7 age, and we're learning, imprinting how we be with our nervous system, how we be with our responses, how people respond to us when we have those responses. Mm-hmm. And then we move into that phase where we start questioning everything. If our parents don't actively respond with those questions or give us information to know how to navigate it differently, which you look at our parents, it's not to say that they're bad, but they probably didn't have that level of awareness back then. their behavior doesn't change. And so then we go around in these human bodies with fucking children operating our emotional situation. And then we're later on in life having to recalibrate from every piece of trauma that we've activated through just not knowing how to speak into our emotions.
I had to go through this. Obviously, Jake and I reconnected in December, and my brat energy, I haven't felt it around a man, obviously because I haven't had that emotional intimacy. Jake and I have a three-year relationship. When we were back sharing time with each other, I could notice the brat energy come, but because I've been doing work on it, I'm like, whoa, there is a need or a vulnerability that I feel unwilling to communicate right now. And so the brat wants to come out because eventually she'll get the need met because she's fearing communicating my truth. So because I know that now and I feel it, I'm like, oh God, I can feel brat energy wants to have a tantrum. There's something vulnerable that I am not communicating and sharing right now.
Yeah. And that piece though is so big. I'm not going to lie. We've been together nearly 5 years now. We've got a son. So we're deep in the thick of relationships. And I'm still learning nuances every single time we have an argument because it also mutates, right? Like I think I'm on top of it. And then if I haven't caught it, it's a tiny little other thing. And so for me, what I do now is every time I notice myself go into something or get activated, I literally will trace back my steps of everything of to where it started. And I know this sounds really, really logical, but the more that I am aware of it, the quicker I can catch it and release it somatically before it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. So I kind of learned this through having a back injury. Like I've had a back injury for the last 14 years. And so one of the parts of my rehab was going, okay, so right now you've had a flare up in your back. What was the thing that caused it to flare up? And so I'd have to literally backtrack my steps to find out where did it get to the point where I can't walk again? Mm-hmm. And usually it was something so minor, but it was unconscious. And I just kept putting the pressure on, putting the pressure on, putting the pressure on to the point where it would blow out. And so I applied that same piece to how I am emotionally. Mm-hmm. And what I started finding was I got really, really good at it, but then it would be a new level of it. So you know how they say like new level, new devil? Mm-hmm. It would be like I'd do something different in my business or something would be quite big for us and it would come back up but in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, you know, that game at the circus where you hit the things and they bob their head up and you have to try and hit them.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're called, but you know what I'm talking about. That's what it was like until I actually got to, okay, this is what's going on. And I spent years coaching relationships, and one of the reasons I stopped was because I realized, you know, relationships are so intricate. Mm-hmm. Like so intricate. There's so many details. There's so many levels of trauma that someone's walking into a relationship with. And we can't just get it right. Like relationships are so much work and so much of a constant reevaluation because you can wake up one day and be a completely different person to the day you were before. And so I've really anchored myself into now, like a man could decide tomorrow that if he wanted to leave me, that could just be his decision. And I'd have to be okay with that. But could I hold that? Right. And so it's like, that's where your work is. Can you be okay in the independence of an interdependent relationship? And so every time I default back, my nervous system started defaulting back into the hyper independent again when I started taking that on. Does that make sense? So it was like, would I be okay? Yep, cool. This is what I'd do. I'd figure out this, 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 and this. Like,
this is how I would fix it.
Yeah, how I'd fix it or how I'd escape, how I'd run. So then I had to go, okay, hold on a second. We're looping here back to an old pattern of hyper leadership, hyper independence. I don't need no man kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. And so I'd go, rather than being like, okay, as a single mom, I'd live like this, I'd do this, or blah, blah, blah. I was like, what do I want more? And what do I choose more? And every time I choose the unity of my family. And so I'd have to drop my ego enough to go, what am I not seeing in myself here? And every time there was a new layer or a new something. And so having something to anchor myself back into, obviously it's a lot easier to anchor in when you've got a kid. But when I'd look at him, I'd be like, Urbane's the best dad in the world. There is no way I'd want to rob him of that. And I also know that this isn't the first rodeo I've had with this same fucking pattern. So this is my shit. So I have to clean that up in order to make my son be able to be raised by a safe woman, not the other way around.
So are you saying in the face of conflict, there's been thoughts about, is this relationship right for us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every woman has that thought when they're in conflict and in struggle and in those sorts of things. And I think to deny that and say, oh, no, I never think of that, you're full of shit, firstly, I think when you're in that is like, what do you choose?
Yes.
Because it's very easy to go, no, I'm going to run. But it's like, if you are going to walk away, have you given it everything? Like, you think about all the work that you did when you left Jake to try and make sure it was 100% the right decision, right?
Mate, I'm still going through a 12-month fucking breakup. I'm so over it.
Exactly, right? Like, exactly. And that's the thing. It does hurt. Like, it really does hurt. And so it's like, when people opt out from it from an easy standpoint, that's the wound, right?
How have you come back into certainty after? Because even in everything that Jake and I explored, and then he asked if I would do FIFO, fly in, fly out from Bali to Perth and back, and see if we can make our relationship work that way. So I had my flexibility when he couldn't be flexible. Yeah. And we could come back to commitment. This is the thing that we had. We could come back to committing to each other, but we couldn't come back to the feeling of certainty that, like, we are each other's person. You are the husband of the father of my children. I am the mother of yours. So how, after these ruptures where there is the thought, is this a relationship right? How have the both of you come back to certainty?
This kind of sounds dumb, but it's like my piece, it was the choice, right? And so it's the choice of going, you know what? 90% of me could want to leave right now, but I'm going to choose to stay. And I'm going to love the bits of you that I don't fucking like right now, because I value what we have over the shit that we don't. I remember saying one time, I felt so incredibly shattered. Like, this is where my runner just wants to run, but my heart can't move. And so I knew in that moment, regardless of all my shit coming up, there was something that was here for me still. And I think previously I would run every relationship that went wrong. The minute there was something tiny, it was like, boom, I'm out, done, done, done. And it was nothing for me to just like fucking literally spit men out like it was nothing. I've had ayahuasca ceremonies where it showed me as a fucking bird eating spider thing where it like ate their partner and spat them out. It was horrible what I've had to navigate with how I was with men. But because I was like, I was a personal trainer, I was attractive, I was all the things that I thought I was, I really took that for granted when it came to actual men and how they were as a human. And so the biggest thing for me is, A, are we both willing to commit at this level? And I think because I've also had the safety of him being certain. There's a real big difference when I think I've heard it somewhere before, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it just really resonated for me. But when the man is more certain than the woman, that's when you have safety in the relationship. Because women can easily act from impulse, right? If we're not grounded, it's very easy for our emotions to take the road and to just want to fly off the wall with that. Whereas when a bane's really solid, that's the thing that makes me check myself, because I can be in my shit and he'll just be standing there like, you know what he's like. He's like a fucking...
She just basically sat there nodding, not saying anything, with like almost an eye roll of like, yeah, Casey's being Casey right now and I was on hold.
I remember we had an argument about a month ago and I was like, I'm done. I want to leave, right? I said that and he looked at me and he was like, I don't believe you. And I was like, what do you mean you don't believe me? And he goes, I know you're just emotional right now and I'm here. We'll talk about this when you feel calm. And I literally, like a little girl, was like, okay. Like, I was just like, fine.
We've gotten to the point in mine and Jake's relationship where I would leave, but I would sit outside the door, cry, because he hates it when I actually leave, and then come back in and then get on his chest and then just cry and be like, I'm back.
Yeah. I think we're silly to think that this doesn't happen in relationships and that we don't navigate big things. Like, I see, and look, I was guilty of it, like painting this perfect picture of a relationship. And then it wasn't until we actually started facing off with the shit that was hard that I was like, oh, I was living in a fairy tale for a little bit there.
I just want to let everyone know, anyone that paints their perfect fairy tale relationships online right now, I've unfollowed all those motherfuckers. I'm like, I don't believe you. You're a liar. You're misleading. You're tricking women into believing this bullshit. Only the people that are honest will unfollow you.
Yeah. And so once I had that realization for me, I stopped with the fairy tale idea, right? And I was just like, I'm just going to be so real at where we're at. Like today, I literally put up a post around, we've had a really big couple of weeks navigating some stuff and today he said to me, it's so nice to feel connected to you again. And just those words, I was just like, oh, like we're intimate. And I'm literally crying while we're intimate because it was like, oh my God, he's so present with me right now. When that was all I wanted, when we were having our little moments, but he didn't know how to come into me when I'm holding my wall up. I didn't know how to come into him when he's stonewalling me. And so this is going to happen in relationships, but how we navigate it is different. I personally believe that if you love someone, anything can work. The thing that doesn't make it work is if the values are misaligned. I think that's the only thing that doesn't make a relationship work, because that's the thing you'll keep fighting over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Everything else is figure outable, but when it's in your heart, it's very different.
Yeah, I mean, going through my 12-month breakup, I very much resonate. There's two parts to it. I do actually believe that when the man knows, he knows, and that the woman is uncertain, but his certainty will hold the pillar for us. And then even with all the Jake stuff, I'm like, I see your commitment to me, but I don't feel like you know. If you knew that I was the mother of your children, that would create more certainty. You don't know that. Yeah. And then when it comes to values, us being so aligned in the intimacy piece, he called me and was like, honey, I'm kind of happy with 30, 35 minutes, 50 minutes once, maybe twice, two, three, four times a week, but that's enough for me. That's not enough for me. I love a whole morning in bed. I don't want to be robbed of that experience. Sexual expression is a part of who I am. And I'm just like, why would I rip from me my favorite thing? And I've played into all the Preston in fucking America, Beck, you're not going to be like this forever. Once you have children, you're not going to have the same desires for sex. And I'm like, you're not my authority. You say that. And I actually feel sexual expression is going to be a part of who I am forever.
I think there's a nuance to that too. It's like, because I was very much the same before having a baby, but it doesn't go away. It just changes the way it happens. We can sit there and go, oh, suddenly sex changes when you have kids and stuff. And yes, it does. There's no denying that. But there's other ways that you meet that need, and there's other ways that you still create it. We've had sex in every fucking possible spot of our house because my son still sleeps in our bed. Doesn't mean we're like not intimate. It creates a different level of, okay, if we're committed to this, we have to be committed in finding out ways to make it work.
And so for any woman that is sitting in conflict around whether her relationship is right for her right now or not, what piece of wisdom would you offer her?
I would say you already know. It doesn't matter how much you love someone, it's not enough. And that's the thing that's really kept me anchored into mine, is because I do know he's my person. Right? I'm just so certain in that. And you've met me before, we were deeply in a relationship and my life was a fucking shit fight. And I think when you meet the right person, everything just comes together. It becomes really easy. It doesn't get harder. Well, that's my experience anyway. I can't say that for everyone, but there's an element that most of us dismiss around our intuitive hits. And I know for myself, every previous relationship where I was like, oh, maybe I should leave, I ended up leaving them for that later on. Whereas when I met Urbane, it was very different. It was just like, I don't know what the fuck it is here, but there's something here. It was like a soul tie. And so I just kept trusting that every single time. And I think if there's any part of you that goes, he's not the one, that's when you have to question it. Because I'm so sick of women dismissing their intuition. It is the strongest fucking thing on the planet. It absolutely is. And I hands down believe that the thing that gets in the way is every time you didn't listen to that, you tell yourself, I was wrong. I should have listened before. So then we create all these stories around like, oh, can I trust myself again? It's like, what if you just started listening the first time? And I remember when I left my ex, I made a commitment to myself that I'd never dismiss that voice again, ever, 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 ever. And I haven't. And since I haven't done that, my life has just changed rapidly, very, very quickly. So I think if you think you're in the wrong relationship, you probably are, right? I know that sounds wrong, but you wouldn't be questioning yourself. But to nuance that as well, if you think he's the one and he's not showing up for you and he keeps leaving you hanging and you're constantly in the chaser, it's time to ask yourself, what actually do you want? Because you've probably been used to men abandoning you. You've probably been used to constantly being the chaser, constantly being that pursuer energy of, oh my God, I just want him to love me. So if you're not sure and you are going, oh, is that me? do some work on yourself before you leave. Get to know yourself. This is what you do, Beck. This is your work. Getting people in there so much in their truth. Get in containers like that. Let yourself actually understand what it is to be fully expressed as a woman, and then ask that question again. Mm-hmm. Because if you're answering that question from a wound, it's always going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. Always. And so even if the tiniest little piece of you going, oh, I don't know if it's right, but that feels louder than the I need to stay here, always trust it.
So interesting. Even for myself, every relationship, and I've left them all, every man comes chasing for me hardcore, but I love the feeling of being chosen. So I've had to really sit in this, in the Jake experience. There's a part of me that loves it no matter what. He just keeps coming, and I've had to look at myself and be like, hold on, this is a pattern. I leave because my intuition says not him, and they come for me, and then the coming for me creates confusion, and I play into this loop with them, which obviously my soul already knows the answer, and I'm still engaging. And I've had to really look at all the places where I don't choose myself to continue to engage in what I know that I'm a no to.
Yeah. And I think like this is like the hardest fucking work. Right? It's so easy to be like, yes, 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 yes. But to actually stand in like, that could be a yes, but it actually isn't a full yes.
Especially when you want it. Like I turned 36 this year and I've never been ready and available for relationships. So I'm like, I want it. And I've got this beautiful man saying yes. And it's a hard experience. I think relationships, I've loved where this conversation has gone today. I think it will open up a lot for a lot of women in so many different capacities. But I really want to echo back what you said about intuition, because I feel we deeply know. Even when I've turned to my friends for support, they've all been like, Rebecca, underneath it all and everything that your brain is about to communicate to me right now, you already know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's interesting you say that, right? Because we only usually ask for advice in relationships when we already know. Every single woman does it. She'll be like, I just want to justify that I'm wrong so I can be like, no, it's easier to stay.
Can you guys just give me some advice that would make my life choices easier?
It's easy to be like, oh, yeah, I'll leave him because he's a cunt or something like that. But when they're not and you're like, actually, I have to choose this because I'm choosing my higher truth, not because it's anything that they've done. That's a whole nother ball game of strength. That is very, very powerful.
Yeah, I'm just going to let all the listeners know, once you have a group of friends that are all into the same work as you, no one lies. No one lies. I'm like, lie to me. Lie to me.
It'd be so nice. I remember thinking to myself like years ago, I was like, I wish I could go back to before I knew all this shit. Like, life was really easy.
I cry. I called someone the other day. I was like, I want to be a school teacher that works 7 to 3. I want to make my husband his lunch. I want to watch Home and Away on the couch. I want to have vanilla sex and look forward to the weekend. And that be it. Why did my soul choose this experience? And everyone was like, Rebecca Antonucci, you'd be so fucking bored. I was like, no, why do I want the soul fulfilling sex and the big life? Why couldn't I just watch Home and Away and be happy? Anyway, Casey Warwick, it has been such an absolute dream having you on the show today. In one sentence, because I know this has gone a little bit longer, my team's going to smack me. What does it mean to be raw and vulnerable in your own life?
I think it's just to not hide behind the shit that you want to hide behind. If it hurts you to say it, generally speaking, that's the rawness. That's the piece that you probably like hiding behind. And so it's just a matter of like fucking owning it. And yeah, it's going to hurt, but just be with it.
Okay. So it's been amazing to have you on the show. If any woman from my world wants to get all up into yours, where do we find you?
Mostly Instagram and Facebook, just Case Warwick, drop the Y for most things. Or you can find me on my website.com, and my Facebook is Case Warwick as well. So
amazing. Yeah. That'll be all in the show notes. I love you. Thank you for this incredible conversation today.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. If you're desiring more from me right now, firstly, I love your eagerness. And secondly, let's make it happen. Check out the link in my show notes where you can receive more information on my books, breakthroughs, online webinars, all upcoming courses and programs, and how you can get started on your journey within my world today. I can't wait to be back in your ears next week. And trust me, you won't want to miss this episode.